In a recent lesson, we mentioned a spirit of entitlement among people where we live, that people maintain that they have a right to all sorts of things in life that would lead to a good life. We briefly mentioned, without stopping to consider various scriptures along that line, that God wants man to be happy. And so I'd like to, in the lesson tonight, talk to you about what I have entitled the most universal desire. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full." So we see from that passage that the Lord's intent and the Lord's desire is that His people be joyous people, that we be happy. Now, if I were to ask in a general group of people, what is the most universal desire that people have? I'm sure that I would receive many answers to that question, especially in a very large group of people that have mixed desires and mixed principles that they live by and things, different things that they are pursuing. Some might say that it's my purpose in life to make all the money that I can, and that will make me happy. And other people might say that they wish to be famous, and they want their name known far and wide, and that's their desire, and that would make them happy. Some pursue educational goals, others popularity, and other various forms of pleasure. And these are the desires of millions of people. But I do not believe that any of these things are really, when we get down to it, looking at the brass tacks, really the basic desire that people really have. I think they want these things because it expresses this basic desire that people have. I want to be happy. Basic desire is happiness. Every man, woman, and child certainly desires to be happy. And even though every person has this intense desire to be happy, we are living in an age of sadness and anxiety. And that's really a shame. I think many people in the world walk through life and they're just really not happy. Hospital beds are filled with patients who are suffering with some kind of mental or emotional problem that they're dealing with that makes them unhappy. And millions are walking the streets far from being happy. And they have to take tranquilizers to keep them going during the day, and they have to take sleeping pills to help them sleep at night. Many of these people are on the verge of suicide. I just wonder how many people have taken their own lives, even today, because they are unhappy in an attempt to escape unhappiness. This being so, we need the help that comes through Bible study. So let us clearly establish the fact in our lesson this morning, this: the Lord wants man to be happy and to enjoy life. I think you get that from your study of the Bible. Many people are under the false impression that God really doesn't want man to be happy. If God wants man to be sad and gloomy, but nothing could be farther from the truth. Consider these passages with me, if you will. Psalm 144, verse 15, the second part of that verse: "How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord." And some people translate that term, blessed, as happy. Proverbs 17, verse 22, "A joyful heart is good medicine." You and I realize that even from our practical experience, don't we? John 15, and verse 11, our text for today: "It's the Lord's desire that His joy be shared with His people in order that our joy would be full." Philippians 4 and verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." Now, these expressions are found throughout the Bible. Really, this is just a small sample. God wants us to be happy. These scriptures certainly establish that fact, don't they? He wants man to have a rich, full, and abundant life. John indicates in his gospel in chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and to kill and to destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus brings great blessings, doesn't he? And it's not unusual for us to reflect on the Bible study that we've done in the past in thinking about the Lord really wants us to be happy people. And we think about things like, blessed are those who have the character of a disciple, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, the first several verses. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, Paul wrote in Romans 4 and verse 7. Blessed are those who suffer for the sake of righteousness, even in Peter, 1 Peter 3 and verse 14. Blessed are those who die in the Lord, John said in his Revelation letter, the very last in our New Testament, chapter 14 and verse 13. And blessed are those who wash their robes. And blessed are those who keep his commandments in Revelation 22 and verse 14. These followers of God are blessed people. They're happy people. Because they serve the living God and he creates conditions for them to have abundant life and to live joyously and happily. So I think by sharing these scriptures with you, you can see that yes, the Bible does indeed affirm that. And in that pursuit of happiness, within the confines of our pursuit of walking in the way, the Lord wants man to adjust to things that are unchangeable. Every one of us are surrounded by two circumstances in life. The two circumstances are very simple. There are things we can change, and there are things that we cannot change. And in pursuit of happiness, a lot of times we end up butting our heads against those things that we cannot change. Things that disrupt our lives, cause us problems, make us unhappy. But there are some things that we can change. The things that are unchangeable, we have to learn to live with if we're going to be happy. You cannot change who your parents were. It may make you unhappy to think about if you had a difficult and problematic childhood. It may make you unhappy to think about your home life and think about one or both of your parents. Maybe you suffered some mistreatment. A lot of people in the world have. And a lot of people are unhappy because of that. But you can't change who your parents were or are. And you can't change who your brothers and sisters were or are. Just like you can't change the real color of your hair. You can artificially change it. But you can't change the real color. And you can't change the color of your eyes. And you can't change the fact that you have characteristics that were received from your father and your mother. Physically and even mentally. You can't change those type of things. And you can't change your gender. You can't really change it. You can't change your birth order. And you can't change your time in history. Oh, some people say, it would be nice if I lived in the 1800s. Well, you can't change that. Why don't you try to be happy where you're living now? There are certain things in life that you just can't change. You may talk to people and they may become very sad when they contemplate old age and the difficulties of it. But you know, the only way to avoid old age is to die young. But that's not necessarily going to be the answer, is it? God created Adam and Eve to live indefinitely. But on the day they sinned, the death process began. Signs of aging are God's reminders for us, I think, to reflect on a good use of our lifespan that He has given us. We can look forward to an eternity with Him. We ought to be thankful people that this life is not all there is. Because there are things in this life that are unsettling, aren't they? And things in this life that fight against that happiness that the Lord wants us to have. Aging should motivate us to invest ourselves in the lives of other people. And invest ourselves in the lives of younger people. And invest ourselves in the lives of our children and grandchildren. So that they can be happy and be taught. Many have found happiness in accepting what cannot be changed by following the example of Paul. In Philippians 4, 11 and 12, here's what Paul says. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. You see, he says, he doesn't outline a lot of his circumstances for us. But he says, whatever they are, I've learned this. Be content. Because there are some things that can't be changed. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, he says, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. You see, I've learned this. And I've learned that's the best way. That's the happiest way. Paul learned contentment. He had to adjust to things in life. He was happy when he was hungry. He was happy when he was full. He was happy when he was in prison. He was happy when he was out of prison. He was suffering. He was happy. He was free from suffering. He was happy. He learned to be content. You know, another example that we've heard of before that might help us along this line is the example of Fanny J. Crosby, the famous hymn writer. As many of you know, she became blind at 6 weeks of age. But she didn't let that handicap destroy her, as she could have. She could have began to feel sorry for herself and began to feel useless and settled into a useless kind of existence. But she didn't do it. She said this, I am the happiest soul living. Now, can you imagine that? If I had not been deprived of my sight, she said, I would never have received a good education, nor cultivated so fine a memory, nor have been able to do good to so many people. She was happy because she had learned to adjust to the unchangeable. Once a woman who had suffered for months with a painful illness was in her hospital room looking out the window and noticed a robin on the ledge, and she said, I love him because he sings in the rain. That's what we need to do. We need to learn to live lives where you and I can sing in the rain. We need to adjust to the unchangeable in our lives. Thirdly, I think it's important for us to realize and remember that the Lord wants us to live one day at a time. One day at a time. In Proverbs 27 and verse 1, do not boast about tomorrow, the proverb writer says, for you do not know what a day may bring forth. We think we know about tomorrow, don't we? We think we know about Monday. Monday, November the 25th. We think we know all about it, don't we? But we don't. We don't have any idea what tomorrow will be like. It may be similar to today, but it may be drastically different from today. And no matter what we think about it, there may be something coming that we cannot change. There may be something coming. We need to be prepared to meet it. There's not anything we can do. In Matthew 6 and verse 34, Jesus said, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, I've been a person who in the past had worried about what's going to happen the next day. But all of that worrying was useless because the day that I was living in had enough to worry about, had enough to be concerned about in itself. Someone said, don't borrow trouble from the future. And I think that's the idea here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Someone has said, don't try to cross a bridge before you get to it. I think that's pretty good advice. Life is miserable and even unbearable for many people because they do not follow this important biblical instruction. Many are unhappy today because they constantly worry about things. We worry too much about the past, and we worry too much about the future. Some people have done wrong in the past, and instead of accepting God's forgiveness and going on with their lives and forgetting the wrong that they left behind, they allow it to destroy the happiness of their present day. That's hard. That's a hard way to live. Paul made a lot of mistakes in his life. He persecuted the church of the Lord. We think, well, I've never done anything that grievous. And a lot of people would agree that they've never done anything that grievous either. But whatever it is, the mistakes of the past, let them be there. When the Lord has forgiven you, forget it. And go on. Live your life and try to be happy the best that you can. Do not let mistakes of the past destroy your happiness. Paul made a lot of mistakes and some very bad ones. But he didn't allow them to destroy his happiness in the Lord. And he became very useful to God. In Philippians 3, beginning in verse 13, brethren, I do not regard myself to have laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. You know, he had a big thing to forget, didn't he? The way he treated God's people. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. We should have the attitude of Paul. Forget what lies behind. Press on toward the prize that he's offered us and promised us in him. Our prayers at the end of the day should be thankfulness to God for the day that he's given us, seeking his forgiveness for the mistakes that we make in that day and giving God the glory for the successes that he's allowed us to have in our lives. Too many cannot enjoy today because they're always thinking about tomorrow. Well, what about tomorrow? What will happen next week? What about next month? And what about next year? The junior high school student is unhappy because he doesn't have his driver's license yet. He's worried about something in the future, overly concerned about something that's coming a year or two later. A high school student is unhappy because he's not his own boss. He has to follow instructions from somebody else. And the college student is unhappy because he hadn't finished his degree yet, or he doesn't have a job yet. But he knows as soon as he gets his degree, and as soon as he gets a wife or a husband, and a FHA mortgage, then he will be happy. Or so it seems. The young married couple fresh out of college is unhappy because they must work. And they're deep in debt. They look forward to the time when they can retire and take it easy. You see, it's a dream, isn't it? And so tomorrow we are going to be happy. It's always tomorrow. If I can just accomplish this, if I can just do this, if I can get this or have this or make this situation happen, then I'll be happy. You see, it's always tomorrow. It's always out there in the future. May not have a day in the future to do that. Be happy today. Rejoice in the Lord again. Paul says, Jesus says, rejoice. The way to be happy is to live one day at a time. Not that one should never make any plans for the future. That would be unwise. The Scriptures don't teach that. But we should live each day to the fullest and let tomorrow take care of itself. Also, the Lord wants man to come to Him to be right. That has a lot to do with our happiness. Very much to do with it. Be right with God. In the book that Solomon wrote, Ecclesiastes, it talks about this quest for happiness. And Solomon explored every area of life in an effort to find happiness. Where is the true and real and lasting happiness that a man can have? And he pursued all of these things. The material possessions, the wisdom, the pleasures, and in many other ways. But he failed to find the inner happiness and security that he was looking for in the things of this life. He finally came to the conclusion that everything is vanity. Everything is useless without God. And he summed up his conclusion in Ecclesiastes 12:13 by saying, when all has been heard, fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. Or this is the duty of every person. It's the answer to his quest. It is at the end of his writing. And his writing contains his experience in exploring all of these different things to arrive at a conclusion. And that's his conclusion. Fear God and keep His commandments. Solomon realized that happiness is really an inside job. It's not something that I can get over here or go over here to possess or go over there to be. It's an inside job. Happiness is an inside job. It comes from being right with God. It comes from having a good conscience. It comes from being to lay your head on your pillow at night knowing that God has forgiven your mistakes and God will strengthen you to live the next day if you're allowed to see it for Him, and you will be happy. Occasionally, I've had opportunity to talk to people who I would say they are just miserable in life. Just miserable. And as you talk to them, you soon realize very much about their unhappiness, that it comes from the fact that they don't know God, that they don't want to serve God. They're unaware of the blessings that God has for them. And many of these people really know that deep down inside, when they die, the Lord will not bless them. The Lord will have nothing for them. And that adds to their misery, I think. The only way to be genuinely happy in life is to live in harmony with the purposes of our Creator. This will bring an inner peace that Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians 4 and verse 7 that passes all understanding. That's the inner peace that we have from serving God. The Christian can close his eyes at night and say, and hear that song and sing that song in his heart. It is well with my soul. Would you like to be able to say that? Would you like to be able every night to go to sleep knowing it is well with my soul? Then serve God in life. Be right with God. That involves trusting God because of what He said. The one who completely trusts God will be happy because he knows that God will take care of his needs. And if that principle gets a little fuzzy to you sometimes, please go back and read what the Lord said in Matthew 6, beginning in verse 25. Here it is. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life, as to what you will eat or what you will drink, or for your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? You know, we don't live in a world where we walk out in the backyard and it's like, well, look at all of these dead birds. They were born into this world and they starved to death. Look at how many there are. I can't see the grass for all the dead birds. They starved to death. They didn't have anything to eat. You know, that's silly, isn't it? Now, that's what the Lord's talking about here. They don't gather into barns. God takes care of them. And you, who of you, by being worried, can add one single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not toil. They do not spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. Do not worry then, say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, those are precious words of our Savior, aren't they? Words of our Master, telling us how to live. Kathy Caprino wrote this. She said, happiness, that's become so hard to achieve, and even harder to maintain. In my work with professional women, I've seen that happiness continually escapes them, because first, they don't understand exactly what will make them happy. They just don't know themselves well at all. And secondly, they search outside themselves for happiness. In a job, in a husband, in a family, in a title, a paycheck, a fancy house. And as a result, happiness is constantly out of their control and a perpetual moving target that never stands still long enough for them to grasp. I'm not saying that these things don't bring happiness, she says. Of course they can. The key point is that everything you are searching for remains outside of you. And if that's the case, you will always be chasing and scrambling. Now, isn't that true with people? Always chasing something, always scrambling after something in order to be happy. Trust in God. He will make you happy. He will make me happy. And we will be happy. And you know, a part of that, trying not to worry about things, trusting in God for happiness that comes from Him, a very big part of that is this. Don't live exclusively for yourself. Learn to live for others. That's what you see in Christ. People who live not just for number one, people who live for others. That's so very important. The happiest people in the world are people who live for other people. How can I make that person happy? How can I make these people over here happy? And there are a lot of people that live that way. I've never met a selfish person who was genuinely happy. It's all about them. It's their world and everybody else is just in it. And that person is really not happy. And when you talk to them, you'll find out they're not really happy. He or she may appear to be happy, but deep down inside, they're really rather miserable. We need to adopt the praiseworthy philosophy of the laundress who was busy singing because of the joy in her heart. And when she was asked, "Where do you find so much happiness in this life that you sing all of the time?" she said, "I didn't find it, mister. I made it. It came from within, not from without." And her loving glance at her little children and the smile that she had on her face every time that she saw them told the truth. Happiness comes from within. Paul knew happiness because he was living for Christ and others. He said, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." That's how he learned to be content. "And if life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me." In Philippians 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." That's a happy person. That's a content person, isn't it? Paul found happiness by living for Christ. And you and I can find this same happiness if we live for Christ as well. That means total surrender of our lives to Jesus and make Jesus the Lord of our lives. Follow his teaching. Eat it. Drink it. Breathe it in. Sleep it. Live it. And you will be happy. May God bless you in your quest to have the abundant life that Jesus came to freely give you. If you're in our assembly tonight and you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, we stand ready to help and assist you in any way that we can in your obedience to the gospel, to become a Christian, or to help you in another way. And if we can, please come to the front and tell me about it while together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song.
I put the wrong number up. The correct number would be number 317. 317. All things are ready.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be richly fed. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. For whosoever will, all things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the door is open wide. A place of honor is reserved for invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God for full salvation, for whosoever will. All things are ready, come to the feast. Come while he waits to welcome thee. Delay not while this day is thine, tomorrow may never be. Hear the invitation, come whosoever will. Praise God. Come to the feast. God, for full salvation.
Supper has been left prepared for those who would like to partake. Would you please raise your hand if you would? I don't see any hands, so at this time we'll now be led in our closing prayer by Brother Powell.
Please bow with me. Our most righteous, most glorious Father, we approach thy wonderful throne at this time. We thank you so much for this day. The privilege to gather together to study thy word, to listen to Brother Smalley and preaching his message from your word. We thank you for his efforts and we thank you for his abilities. May you keep him healthy and strong and help us to help him in that area and to encourage him in the efforts that he has been doing and giving us and the good work. We ask thee, Lord, to be with us in our lives, that we would glorify thee in all that we do, to cling to thee in thy hope that we have through your Son. And we thank you for your word that we have a guide to lead us in that way. We ask thee, Lord, if we have fallen short that you, and we bring it to thee and lay it at thy feet, that you would be faithful to forgive us as you have promised. And help us to cling to them promises, Lord, that we know at the end of time, when you say it's enough, and when you end the world, and now your Son to come back and to bring upon the judgment, that we would be found in your arms. And if it be thy will, Lord, and if it is thy will, we ask you for to let it come soon, like tonight. And Lord, if we ask thee to help us to be strong, to be thankful, and to be ready, and to also, Lord, to be thankful that we have an opportunity to be one of your children. As we depart from here, Lord, help us in our travels back to our homes safely. Most of all, help us in our efforts to stay strong and to stand for the truth and to live right and to defeat the devil as well as our own desires. And Lord, help us to praise thee in everything we do in our breath and every until the last breath it ends. In the name of Christ, amen.
Thank you.